Scientific and technological advances and open markets are creating both opportunities and challenges for today's organizations. To stay relevant as a company, you need to be able to adapt to unprecedented change, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity. In this podcast, we will explore how leaders can build such organizations. Hi, everyone, and welcome back. Hi, Jimmy.
Hello, Lasse. Hi, everyone.
How are you today?
Really good. A lot of things going on, a lot of context switching, but I guess having a lot of work is good these days. How are you?
I'm fine, at least considering the pandemic. It has impacted my business negatively, unfortunately, and there's less opportunities than I would like there to be. By the way, congratulations on your new YouTube channel.
Thank you.
It's called Agile with Jimmy, right?
Agile with Jimmy, yeah. Maybe a little bit egocentric, but no, it's real fun. Trying to keep up with one episode a week, and so far it's very fun.
And thanks for inviting me as a guest speaker. I'm really looking forward to future topics, guests, and episodes.
Thank you. Well, enough with the chit-chat. Let's dive into today's topic, inclusive leadership.
Before jumping in, I thought I would share an insight that I had.
Yes, please do.
So when preparing for this episode and reflecting on previous episodes, it occurred to me that we really hadn't talked about a crucial aspect with any organizational concept, and especially when you're considering whether to adopt a concept or not.
Bummer, what important aspect have we missed to cover?
So it's really about the business argument. So meaning, why would it make sense from a business or financial perspective to adapt a specific organizational concept, principle or practice, really? Mm. So from this episode, we're going to start doing that. And one business case for people positive and inclusive leadership is that they both improve people's performance. So last episode, we talked about being people positive. And like improving people's performance is fundamentally about three things. One is setting the context. Second is believing that people are resourceful. And the third is being inclusive. So last episode was about believing that people are resourceful. And in this episode, we're going to talk about being inclusive as a leader.
Yeah, and we're going to go through six traits of inclusive leadership. I guess you can call it behaviors as well. So we're going to build upon that a little bit, elaborating, and then hopefully provide some good examples later on.
Yeah, and we should also mention that these traits is something that we picked up from a HBR article, and it's based on research that some folks have made.
Yeah.
So what's the first trait, Jimmy?
The first one, it's the trait of visible commitment, that you actually, well, first of all, you need to decide whether or not you believe that these things are important, that they will make an impact, making it visible, actually articulating your commitment to others, communicating that I'm going to do my best from here on to challenge status quo, be clearer on what I expect from each other, but also be more transparent about my own shortcomings and my learning. So I'm not only going to communicate what I want, I'm going to follow up on that as well. And making it a priority, not just in words, but it's actually going to be reflected in how my calendar looks.
So essentially it's about walking the talk instead of doing like lip service.
Yes.
The second trait is humility. So here it's about, as a leader, understanding that my perspective is based on my background and experiences, and many are related to a specific context. It's also about I only have one part of the truth at best. So I'm aware that my knowledge is limited, no matter how experienced I am. And this importance increases with your seniority and status. Should also mention that if I'm humble doesn't mean that I lack ambition. Those two can go both hands in hand. I'm humble and I also am ambitious.
Yeah, I like this angle because I can be committed and I can have resolve towards a specific target, such as having a more inclusive leadership and including others. But I can be humble that this is a learning journey. I only have one perspective. They really go well hand in hand.
Yes.
Which ties into the third one. Awareness of biases, of prejudices we have as a person, as a human being, but also as a system. So I'm walking around believing a bunch of stuff, may be unjustified and drawing conclusions based upon a bias. Then we also might have biases in our organization. So some part of the organization or the way we do things just happen to emerge, and then we believe they have to be like that, but actually it's just a coincidence, or at that moment in time when this mechanism or role or process were put in place, we were biased towards this or that. So it ties back to being humble and trying to be aware of the blind spots, and then work really, really hard to surface those, to muster the courage to face them and deal with them and talk about them.
Next trait is curiosity about others. So spontaneously, one might think this is about showing an interest in the progress of the work that's being made and asking for status updates or showing interest in how problems are being solved or how opportunities are being addressed. I mean, these things are all valuable. However, in the context of inclusive leadership, curiosity is about gaining understanding of the situation and circumstances people and teams face, understanding their point of view, what motivates and demotivates them, and how they're being affected by all of this, and doing all of this without judgment. So it's a curiosity that signals empathy, that ultimately impacts both your actions, behavior, and how you express yourself.
Yeah, and it's extra crucial in moments of change, right? So when we are, as an organization, are forced to meet new expectations, showing empathy for how a change can impact an individual, and being able to kind of meet up on those needs in those moments of change. The fifth one, cultural intelligence. We come from different cultures, and a culture doesn't only mean that we're from different countries in the world. We have also different cultures in teams or in offices. So being aware of that the social dynamics are different and adopt accordingly is super crucial, because what works over here might not at all work over here, because it's a different set of people with different expectations and beliefs. So being sensitive to that and being able to find inclusive paths forward is what I put in the term cultural intelligence, at least.
And last trait is being effective on collaboration. So being attentive towards that teams need psychological safety in order to work well together, bringing in diversity and different set of perspectives, so if people feel empowered to speak their mind, their collaboration will improve a lot. So those are the, what is it, five traits?
Six traits.
So those are the six traits of inclusive leadership, according to this research. Is there anything that we believe is missing based on our own experience?
As I expressed it earlier, I think this is not an exclusive list, but this list is really, really important ones in my experience of what I've seen, both in what creates inclusiveness, motivation, and more higher performing teams and people, but also what great leadership do. So when I look at my role models, they exhibit these traits in a great extent. But I also do believe that if you're working in an organization where work happens in autonomous teams that collaborate in a network, I think one could take it a little bit further, be extra clear on a few things. So I think there's even more leverage here. So for example, it's all in here, but I want to unpack it a little bit more. Curiosity, for example. So if you're working with an autonomous product team, be curious about what they've learned. What did the last retrospective reveal? What are they passionate about? What are they stressed out about? So show curiosity about those things, about the learnings and motivations. Involve the whole team. So expanding the inclusiveness is that instead of talking to one person, the senior architect or the team lead, involve the whole team in your conversation. Create that room for them all to grow. Which ties into the next one, empower and trust. I think one can expand on that even more. Even more clear as a leader or manager that you have the mandate. I've empowered you to take responsible decisions in all these areas. And I trust that you step up that, or that you live up to those responsibilities, and do, or at least do your best. And when needed, I can offer advice or guidance or feedback and opinions, but I'm trusting you. And another thing I would like to add to this is, I'm going to briefly mention this, because for a team to be effective and live up to what they're expected to be responsible for, you need to provide context and constraints. But this is almost off topic for today, but I still want to briefly mention it.
So let's go through a few examples and then look at them through the lens of these traits from inclusive leadership.
Yes.
So we actually have one example from a shared experience. So we worked with a company that had identified an organizational pattern of a lack of technical leadership. So a considerable number of teams throughout the organization was not living up to expectations of creating and maintaining a healthy and sustainable technical vision. So it was, for example, causing unmaintainable tech debt, legacy code, unsustainable technical decisions, and even indecisiveness. And these causes varied between teams, and not all teams had issues, but there were enough patterns to justify conversation and an intervention on the organizational level. And in this case, senior levels of management concluded that introducing a role at the team level was reasonable. This was as a way to acknowledge the importance to improve the situation. And instead of appointing and promoting people or initiate a traditional hiring process for the role, it was decided that it would be a more suitable way for leads to provide clear expectations and constraints for the role, and then have each team deciding on how to implement the role locally. And this led to a number of different approaches in how to live up to expectations.
Yeah, and some of the team, they decided to appoint a team member through an election process or nomination, and it came down to a vote. One team decided to share the responsibility between two people. Another team chose a rotation scheme to distribute the work and the responsibility. And one team ended up having a more traditional hiring process, so they kind of formulated a job description and look who in the team would apply, and then it was an interview. The important thing was that what I liked was that each approach was tailored to the situation, the circumstances, and the needs of the people and the teams. So tying back to the traits, I believe you can see signs of cultural intelligence. What works well in one team might not be appropriate in another. And you also can see curiosity about others, in this case acknowledging people's motivation and individual needs without judging them. Some don't have the possibility or aren't comfortable committing to the expectations, while others embrace it and are excited by it. And also humbleness, that I've created this new role, but we're not sure about how it will play out, allowing the team, giving them room to be included in making it work for them. Mm. And also the way that this happened, I think, was a really strong sign of commitment to inclusiveness. Let's not just decide something and then shove it down people's throat.
Yeah.
Another maybe simpler example is the one-on-ones many managers have with their direct reports, maybe once a week or every second week or something like that, which is something they devote a lot of their energy and time on. These conversations tend to generally focus on the personal development of the reportee and offering feedback, and also provide coaching and help them improve in areas they want to improve. Mm. But great inclusive leaders I've met not only offer input and feedback, they also ask for it. They also ask for input and feedback themselves. So they shift the balance of the conversation to be more inclusive, and repeatedly asks for the other person's perspective. And they might ask things like, how can I be a better leader or manager? How can I better support you in your work and growth? Mm. What do you need me to do more of or do less of? Mm. How would you like to be challenged? What's the right level of challenge for you? So I think this is a great inclusive leadership trait, to actually ask the person you're leading or managing to help you in your growth and including them in your own development.
This is also a great example that shows a multiple of these traits in use. So there's visible commitment. The manager is including the reportee and asking for input on how they can improve being a manager for them. There's humbleness, expressing that I don't have all the answers and that your input helps me to grow as a manager and as a leader. There's curiosity in others, since the manager adapts their leadership to the needs of the reportee. And I also believe that there's even like awareness of bias in oneself, because the manager has acted on that it's easier to see flaws in others than in oneself, and adapting to that. And by the way, you mentioned that this example is simpler than the previous one. I think it still doesn't mean that this is simple, like doing this as a manager. Like for some, this can be very difficult, so it requires practice.
Yeah, because you're making yourself vulnerable, right? So you're opening up for, you're not being perfect. You're asking, so opening up for feedback, and that can be a scary thing.
For sure.
I have one more example. So I was part of an organization where one department of 40-ish people, consisting of three teams, the leadership realized that we need to totally rearrange into new, smaller teams.
Mm.
First, we had a strong belief that one or maybe two of the teams were way too big to work efficiently. And then there were actually new expectations put on us as a group. But we failed to figure out what's a great new constellation of five teams with clear missions and purposes and boundaries of ownership. So we involved everyone in collaborating on a set of proposals. We voted, and then we continued with the most popular ones. And we had a very transparent dialogue as these two popular proposals merged into one. And then we finally actually presented them. And we had a self-selection, so people actually could choose which new team they should wanted to join.
Mm.
And then they took part in shaping that final team even further through team kickoffs and reboots and so on. This whole process took us a month, roughly, from the first workshop where we created the proposals until we actually had the self-selection workshop followed by new team kickoffs. But for me, it's a really powerful story. And it also ticks a lot of the boxes.
Again, I think this example is very similar to the other examples in that the leaders, while having experience, still acknowledges that they don't know everything and that they have blind spots. They include people to gain additional insights and find the most valuable solution, seeking out individuals' interest, motivation, and knowledge. Okay, so time for a wrap-up. So being an inclusive leader and improving as one includes a number of key traits, and based on the examples we've given, it takes time and requires continuous commitment. And you might ask yourself by this time whether it's worth the investment or not. And based on research, it directly increases performance, and for what it's worth, our experience points at the same conclusions, and specifically if you're in a complex business context. So we believe it most certainly pays off, and we suggest you try for yourself and look for any effects, especially if you're a leader that spends all your thoughts and acts on operations, tactics, and execution.
Yeah, and one thing you can start with is to self-evaluate yourself on these traits, or try to think back of examples where you exhibited these traits. If you have a hard time coming up with examples, you should probably put a low score.
Yeah.
We suggest you also ask others, how do they perceive how well you're living up to these traits?
Yeah.
Can they think of examples where you've been inclusive or shown commitment? And be influenced by that.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Bye.
Bye-bye.